Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. And this is, again, on Shake and Wake Radio, one of my favorite platforms. And as far as alternative media is concerned, and Annie, who is a personal friend and has been for a long time, always glad to be here, always glad to get a word out, always glad to help educate. And again, if I am putting something out to you, I have done the research. Now, if it is my opinion, I'm going to let you know because not everybody shares the same opinion. But the difference between opinions and facts is major. So you will always be aware. And for those who don't know, this show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLV, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring in shortly. Again, this is episode 92 of Eagle's Eye Report, and this is for February 21st, 2024. And yes, it is Wednesday. This is the day Roger does his show. But let me give you the title, because I'm sure that probably will pique some of your interest. The name of the show today is When All Else Fails, Recall. I'm going to say that again. When All Else Fails, Recall. Now, the mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts. Yep, Roger's doing his normal opening. In a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts, anybody listening to this show knows for a fact that our voices and our ability to get our word out have been seriously curtailed by a government of, by, and for we the people. Bullshit. So, okay, the mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. The entire concept of America itself was so that we would have the ability to speak our minds and petition our government. What the hell happened to that, people? Okay. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie, who is a personal friend and someone I happen to have a lot of faith and trust in. And also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. Now, Roger's going to go where he goes every single week, so some of you, if you need to grab a cup of coffee, this may be a good time to do it. Roger's going to talk about a donation, and he does this every week, and I think it's important enough to repeat every week. I know there are some of you out there that help Annie out and these other platforms by donating. You do. Every once in a while, you throw 20 bucks in, sometimes 50, sometimes you even go to 100. Who knows? And then a couple months later, 35, and that's good, and you are appreciated. Want to know how to take it to the next level and not spend a penny more? Take an average of what you donate over the course of a year. Divide that by 12. And if that number comes up to 7, 8, 10, whatever, the next time you go in to make a donation, put that number in the box and click the little box that says make this a monthly reoccurring donation. You haven't spent any more than you usually do, but what you have done is you have given Shake and Wake and all of these other great platforms the ability to formulate a budget. Why? Because that $10, that $12, that $15 is going to be there every single month. And if enough of you do this, as Roger says every week, what you will do is build their budget to the point where giving you bigger, badder, better, faster now not only becomes possible, but it becomes something that they wish to do for you because they know they've got the funds. They know they have the budget. Why? Because you went to a monthly reoccurring donation. Again, I'm not asking you to give them any more than you normally would, although I strongly suggest it. The platforms are well worth it. What I am saying is if you want bigger, badder, better, faster, give it to them in a fashion they know it will be there every single week. And Stephen, I'm not going to say, do you agree with me? I'm going to say, hey, did I just waste any time there?
No, you don't waste time.
Okay. So let's roll into this. And by the way, that is my co-host and the producer of this show, Stephen. And Stephen, it's always good to have you here. And Stephen is not afraid to jump in if he's got something to say, which I also appreciate. Okay. Our mission is to keep you armed with vital truth, as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. That being the sponsor of this show, TLVTalk.com. Go to TLVTalk, make a group, bring your friends over, talk about the things that you've been shut off for in so many other platforms. As long as it is not illegal, you should be able to talk about it, right? Okay.
Say,
go
Roger.
To TLVTalk. Go ahead.
I'll jump in there every time you're wrong, though. Is that okay?
Go ahead. Sure. Oh, okay. So, in other words, we're never going to hear from you.
Basically, okay. Yes.
Anyway, and that was good, Stephen. I like that. It made me laugh. Stephen's trying to keep my pressure down to a manageable level. I do these shows, and I keep telling you this, people, and this is an absolute fact. I never do these shows because I want to, because I don't. I never do these shows because I like to, because I don't. I do these shows because I feel it's my responsibility. It is what I am leaving behind, the knowledge of what we exist in today, because far too many people haven't got a clue. What is the, I don't know, mission of the Liberty Beacon Project? To give you a clue. That's why we're here. I will always state that the message I bring to you today is not entertainment, nor is it baseless guesses or remote possibilities. Most of what I deliver is in-your-face reality, recorded facts, or an inevitability, depending on, here he goes again, our course of action. And again, Stephen, you're going to hold me to this. By April 1st, we will put together a team of about a half a dozen people that we can do a show on where we will simply discuss our course of action. We talk about their course of action constantly on all kinds of alternative radio stations and all kinds of alternative media, all kinds of alternative websites. We talk about their course of action all the time and in detail. How many times do you remember sitting down and listening to the detail of our course of action to overcome the tyranny in our face? And I'm talking about detailed courses of action. We don't have one, people. And I think it's about time we put one together. Stephen, would you agree?
Yes, I think everyone needs solutions, especially yes. The big boys. You know, the only solutions that Alex Jones has is buy my books, buy my DVDs, buy my supplements.
Agreed. And again, this will be a team that you and I will pick. There will be a total of six of us, so we will find four other people. And we will probably do a couple of specials, pre-records, in which case we have roundhouse discussions before we set up the actual decision of. So this is something that we will start on the 1st of April, and it will progress through April until we have something to present to the entire audience. Sound good to you, Steve?
Si, senor.
I think it's highly necessary, and I know you do. We've had this discussion. Okay, so we're talking about our course of action, and going forward, we are going to do something about discovering our course of action, because Stephen and I, like nobody else has taken the time to do, will take the time to discuss with other people who have that level of knowledge what should our course of action be. And you can expect that, or at least major news of its launch, no later than April 1st. Okay, so when all else fails, recall, the name of today's show. So let's jump down to business. This is yet another occasion where it's only fitting to state with absolute certainty that if our founding fathers were alive today and observing congressional actions as they pertain to we the people, they would be horrified and may even call for another uprising. I'm talking about our founders, if they were alive today, observing what Congress is doing to we the people. Okay, they would be horrified and may even call for another uprising, something we may get thrown in prison for doing or even mentioning today, whether we actually are guilty of said actions or not. I think anybody who's looking for, I don't know, what are you talking about, Roger? How about the January 6th group? How many of them are still in prison, have never been charged, have never been given the ability to have counsel, have never had the right of a speedy trial? don't even know what they're actually accused of. But this is Congress. This is the DOJ. This is who runs your life. So let us continue. And with the treasonous actions of said congresspersons, the January 6th committee, such as erroneous charges, okay, confinement without counsel, or lack of a quick trial, and more, and oh, don't forget the intentionally destroyed evidence and more. Did you hear what I just said? The intentionally destroyed evidence that would have backed up the stories of the individuals that they had put in jail and in prison. You're looking at Congress people in this country destroying the evidence that would have freed people sitting in prison for no reason sent there by our Congress traitors, the January 6th committee. I have not seen a level of tyranny like this so out in the open in a very long time. Has there been tyranny? 9/11. Has there been tyranny? I could name a lot of them. But that was never out in the open as what is happening with January 6th as the light is being shown down upon them. When you take evidence that can clear somebody and keep them out of prison or jail for years, or destroy their life, or destroy their company, or destroy their family, or destroy their job, before you do that, okay, shouldn't you stop and think, am I committing treason or tyranny far above what any American would ever consider their elected representatives would do? But do we know they did it? Yeah. How many of them are in jail? How many of them got arrested? How many of them went to prison? How many of them is that even being considered for? Now, the good thing about this is it ain't done yet. The bad thing about it is how often do you see congressional or even senatorial members pay for their actions? How often? Nancy Pelosi, how much has she paid? Chuck Schumer, how much has he paid? And I could go on and on and on. And the actions committed by these people we know are so tyrannical that they border on treason. But yet, how many of them have even been censured? How many? How many have been kicked out of Congress? And yes, we're going there. This is where we're headed in this show. But we need to get through the basics first, all right? So, what we are, the point we're at right now, okay, where the tyranny has built to a level that most of us can't even understand, because this is supposed to be America. What we're seeing is that the interface between our elected officials and ourselves is failing so miserably, and in fact, it's exploding all around us. People are actually waking up to the fact this isn't what I sent him or her to Washington for. So let's dig a little deeper in and reveal the reality of this. Why is it that far too often many people locally wish for or demand something from their government, but their elected representatives don't back that issue or may even vote against it? Wait, what? I thought these so-called reps were sent to D.C. to represent the people of their district, not their interest, not the deep state's directions, and not the global elitist orders. But this is what we're seeing. And I'm going to surprise the hell out of a lot of you, because after the break, I'm going to give you some facts, some numbers. Roger doesn't bark like this unless he's got good info to bark about. And right now, I'm laying the groundwork. After we come back from the break, I will show you why that groundwork is worth walking on. Okay. The sad part of this is that very few people watch how their reps vote on a consistent basis. How many of you sit there watching, because Congress is televised, 24/7, whenever they're in house. Okay. How many of you sit there and watch every time somebody from your state does something and records what they did and what it was for? How many of you do that? How many of you even go on a weekly basis and check what all of the senators and Congress people from your state have done over the course of the week? How many of you even check once a month? I would say that number, and I'm guessing here, is less than 1 in 1,000. And I'm probably giving way too much credit as it is. That number could easily be 1 in 10,000. You hear what I say, people? You elect them because they convinced you. You should. You send them to Washington, and then you're no longer interested. You're no longer interested in whether or not the individual that you trusted to go and project your values into Congress is not doing it. Yeah. And when that person comes up for re-election, how much of this do you know, or do you just go in and check the box again? How many of you do that? Far too many people. Because you have no clue what this lady or this guy has done over the last 2, 4, or 6 years. You haven't got a clue. No. The sad part, again, of this is that very few people watch how their reps vote on a consistent basis. Why is it that the more we hear about our congressmen and senators, as in their in-Congress actions and speeches, the more we come to understand that far too many of them now owe their souls and their voices to their true owners, their true masters? Not you and me, but again, the American deep state and the global elite. Not a guess. I'm going to give you numbers when we get back. And then you can understand the angst in Roger's voice. But again, American deep state and global elite, this is where they take their marching orders today. This is not a joke and it's not a guess. Especially if you have been there for decades. When our founders put together our governance, it was never intended that a congressman would stay in Congress for a lifetime. They were supposed to be there for maybe 1 or 2 terms, leave their farm, come represent their people, go back to their business, to their family, to their farm, and continue on. I think even our founders knew that if somebody is there for 30 or 40 years or more, that the amount they become embedded in the system, the amount of tyranny that they would lend a blind eye to, the amount of money they will take in order to assure re-election, but owe favors for, all of this is a reality that is out of control. But again, the American deep state and the global elite control a vast majority of this. How do I know that? Again, I will give you some facts after the break. Okay. So especially if you've got somebody who's been in Congress for decades, that is, if they wish to continuously be reelected and eventually leave Congress with umpteen million dollars in the bank. Let's say, let's just right off the top of my head, okay, $200,000 a year for a congressman. And they have to live. So they're going to have to spend some of that. Let's say they spend half of it and they're in there for 20 years. That means you've got $2 million at the end of that 20 years. Okay. How is it that we have people getting out of Congress when they went into Congress, they may have had a couple $100,000 in the bank. And when they get out of Congress, they've got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. Yeah. And again, what is insider trading? And again, what is privilege trading? And again, how many people in Congress made last-minute orders for stocks they knew would either drop drastically or rise drastically when 9/11 was reported the day it happened? How many people the night before or the day before made those, I don't know, updates to their stock portfolios? And how many of them were in the U.S. government or an elected representative? How many people? Do a little research. So again, we are not just talking about America. We are talking about global. And if you have this many American representatives falling into line with this global pact, with this global elite, with this global deep state, then to say that these individuals are sovereign, or that they concern themselves with the sovereignty of America and we the people, is the biggest lie you're being told. It's not true. How do I know that? After the break, I'm going to give you some statistics. None of this is a joke, people. It's not even close to being a joke. The amount of tyranny that exists in America today and is hidden just below the surface. I mean, it used to be well hidden, but nowadays, yeah, we found out about January 6th. If this was 15 years ago, we probably never would have, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago. Today, we will. Why? Because the level of this tyranny has reached such a high point, such a peak, such an epitome, that it is almost impossible to hide. So it's not even a matter of hiding it so much anymore as committing or, I don't know, pointing the finger at other emergencies to distract your attention from. We live in a time today, people, where we have more national and global emergencies than I can ever remember. And as soon as one is over, another one starts up. And none of them are small scale. They're all massive scale. And if you don't think that your direction, I mean, your interest or your focus isn't being directed intentionally, you're not listening to a word most of us on alternative media are saying. Because today, misdirection and redirection is something that the alternative media is being accused of at a level you can't even imagine. And why? Because this is exactly what's being handed to us on a silver platter by our own government. And in order to avoid the focus on their misdirection and redirection, we in the alternative media and anybody stepping up to say the truth have to be accused at the top of their ability to scream that we are producing and putting out misdirection and redirection. And this is what you see today. You see governance that is lying to us on a level we never could have imagined 50 years ago. Was it there? Probably. Not at this level, and nothing we could see. But today, we are looking at tyranny that a lot of Americans are waking up to. The question is, with everything else that's happening in America and everything that could happen in America, is this just a little too late and just a little too little? We're going to find out, people, because there is a solution, at least a partial solution for all of what we're talking about, okay? All right, so the tyranny and, yes, even treason in some cases now practiced in our daily governance has reached a point where it is now getting impossible to hide or explain away. Well, in that case, all deep states can do is apply more pressure to our bought and paid for reps to lie and misrepresent us even more. Yeah. This is coming to a head, people, but is it fast enough? Are people waking up? Yes, they are. Have I been doing this for 15 years? I started the Liberty Beacon Project. We have spread all across the planet. Have I seen it? Yes, I have. And I saw it at a level that drove me to do this. Yeah. There are mechanisms in place to observe and track our reps' actions and votes. Yet, and again, how many are even aware of these? How many are aware of the mechanisms of recall? The ability to bring your congressional representative back home to answer to their constituents for their lack of support or their blatant ignoring of their constituents' wishes. How often do we see that today, people? Far too often. And why don't these congressmen worry about it? Because they don't need to go out looking for money to get reelected. They're going to get reelected, and the money's going to be there. The only problem here, people, is, and again, after the break, we will go over the facts. The only problem here, people, is very little of that money comes from the people they represent. Very little! And that's not a joke. And there are ways to track that as well. But how many people are aware of this? How many of you actually hold your congressman or your senator's feet to the fire? How many of you do it? But yet you're going to complain to the highest level as soon as things get uncomfortable for you. But had we watched, had we observed, and had we stepped in early enough, who's to say none of us would be suffering from this today? When we talk about a government of, by, and for we the people, don't you think we have some responsibility in that? And don't you think of all of the mechanisms that have let down freedom and liberty in this country? We the people are one of the biggest. Because we have allowed all we suffer. We didn't have to, but we did. At any point in time, we could have stepped up. We didn't. Are we getting to a place where that may not even be an option? We ain't there yet, people. But are we heading in that direction? Yeah. Yes, we are. Yeah. Are there good and honest senators and congressmen? Yes, there are. I'm not telling you there aren't. There are some out there I proudly listen to. I do. I listen to what they say, and I understand it because I know where it comes from. Their brain and their heart, not from a script handed to them by the damn elites. And how hard is it to tell the difference between the two? Damn easy, if you listen well. When the majority of all in Congress today, we will get into those numbers after the break, owe their allegiance, career, and retirement funds to the globalists like Soros, etc., or big out-of-state donors, or even the American deep state entity, but not to you who they have sworn to serve, then it is past time to take action. So, this is why I titled today's show, When All Else Fails, Recall, While You Still Can. And I know we've got about a minute or two before the break, Steve, so anything you would like to plug in here right now, I would find highly valuable.
No, I fear it's going to take something catastrophic to actually wake the 99% up.
I would tend to agree that it's going to take something catastrophic. I don't think it would be something that's going to take millions of lives. I do think it can be political. I do think it can be financial. But I do agree with you, there's going to have to be a big stick come down. The only thing I don't agree with you on is that 99% of the people are unaware. I would say there are a lot more people aware today than there have been, and you and I are responsible for that. Are there enough yet? No.
I would say it's only like 3% maybe.
But I would say 5 to 7%.
Well, that's a pretty good number. That's a decent number. Science has actually studied that it takes 10% of any population anywhere in the world to sway the other
to make change.
Yes, to make change.
And you and I know that our mission is not only to get 10%, it's to get 15% so that we're sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You ready for the break now?
I got to be able to breathe for a couple of minutes. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Well, I'll give you 60 seconds.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, everybody. So, again, do me a favor, all right? Yes, this is promoted, and it is, basically, this is all about TLB Talk. TLB Talk is a place where you can go and say what needs to be said. And today, that is a rare find. And there are a lot of platforms out there that give you that promise. I can tell you because I am the owner of the Liberty Beacon Project and the founder of it. And all six websites contained within it. If you go to the TLB Talk, and you become a member and you form a group or whatever, okay, the only thing that will get you kicked off that platform is breaking a law. If you say things that are so stupid nobody wants to hear them, that is your right. They also have a block button. That is their right. So, again, the only thing that gets you kicked off of TLBTalk.com is doing or saying something that is illegal, because you not only put yourself at risk, you put the entire platform at risk. So going forward, if you have something you know needs to be said and your only concern is where can I say it, come and visit us at TLB Talk. We're building a community of people just like you. All right. When we left, I had said the break five times, I think. When we get to the break or after the break, well, we are here. It is after the break. And I'm going to make a couple of minor points, and then we're going to go into an article that's going to give you the details I was discussing. And the only other points I'm going to make at this point is recall is a mechanism that is real. Recall is a mechanism that is under the control of we the people. Recall is a mechanism that can help us, but only if enough of us know how to use it, why to use it, and how it can help us going forward. So let's see if we can educate you a little bit more. And when this is published tomorrow on the Liberty Beacon by 12 noon, when it is published, 12 noon Central Time, you will have access not only to that information, but I will put some links in there to make it even easier for you to dig up even more information. All right, so I'm going to jump into and take some pieces from an article that was written by Robert A. Taft, okay? And the name of his article is Time to Recall Members of Congress. Gee, can you even come close to guessing why Roger might have picked this article? Okay, anyway, he starts it off with a subtitle, okay? Our Non-Representative Congress. Listen to me, I will say that again. He starts it off with a subtitle of Our Non-Representative Congress. The voting numbers of the Congress show that we no longer have a representative democracy. I'm going to say that again. The voting numbers of the Congress show that we no longer have a representative democracy, nor are we Republicans and Democrats. We are now nationalists and globalists, which was what I was referring to in my opening. I'm going to give you his very first line again, because I want everybody here to understand that when I start giving you the numbers which follow this. The voting numbers of the Congress show, and you're going to get the numbers, that we no longer have a representative democracy. We have a constitutional republic, but basically it is a representative democracy in some fashion. Nor are we Republicans and Democrats anymore. We are now nationalists and globalists, and this is what we see in Congress. By how they vote, by why they vote, by what they're paid to vote for, by what they damn right well better vote for, because if not, they'll find themselves in jail, if so on and so forth, are compromised elected representatives. So let's get into a few facts about why we are nationalists and globalists now. Based on their voting, and we're talking about those in Congress, based on their voting, the globalist party consists of 69% of the Senate and 65% of the House. Did you hear what I just said? I didn't say, all right, what I said was the globalist. And we're talking about 69% of the Senate and 65% of the House. I told you the majority of each. So what we're looking at is, why do we continue to pour money into Ukraine, knowing that that money is going to some of the most corrupt people on the planet? It's not buying weapons. It's not focusing on Ukraine beating Russia. It is so corrupt. It is insane. Yet you have how many congressmen and how many senators pushing more and more billions of dollars to Ukraine? They won't even tell us what it's spent on, but we need to give them hundreds of billions more. And 69% of the Senate and 65% of the House are now part of what we call the globalist party. However, their constituents voted for 49% of the Senate and 51% of the House, meaning their constituents aren't in line with those they elected to go and vote for, or to vote in that fashion. Because had their representatives voted as their constituents wanted, listen to me, this is all done by the math of it all. Had their representatives voted as their constituents wanted, Biden's policies would have been stopped. Did you hear what I said? This isn't a guess. Had their representatives voted as their constituents wanted, Biden policies would have been stopped. The fact that these policies have not been stopped has not only disappointed but angered in an increasing number of legitimate voters. During the break, Stephen and I were talking about how many people we felt in this country were actually awake. And Stephen started out by saying about 3%. And when I started doing this about 15 years ago, Stephen hit the nail right on the head. We were looking at 2 to 3% at the most of this country that actually knew anything that was going on behind the scenes, what the deep state was doing, what the CIA was doing, what the FBI was doing, and I could go on and on. They just didn't know. And they didn't know how to know. Today, okay, we're talking, you know, a couple of decades later, I'm telling people like Steve that I think it's between 5 and 7% today. And it could be as high as 7%. Why do I think that? Because over the last 3 to 4 years, since this tyranny went on steroids, we have seen a massive output from the alternative media. We have been shut off. We have been shadow banned. We have been stuck in a damn corner. Our stuff has been taken down. And what have we done? How many of those good people that you go to on a regular basis to read the information, you know you're not going to get anywhere, no matter how many times they were smacked upside the head, they were still there giving you that information. Whether they were shadow banned, whether their stuff was taken down, whether they were deplatformed, it didn't matter. Whether they were kicked off of a radio network, it didn't matter. A couple of days later, they had another show on another network. They had articles being printed on another website, and they were passing this stuff around and doing guest appearances like none of this had happened. What we are seeing today is not only a massive resurgence of the voice of we the people. And when I'm talking 3 to 5% of 350 million people, that's not a small number, okay? We're talking millions. And when we're talking that level, what I'm saying is there are a lot more people awake in America today. And when they look at the January 6th committee, and they look at the Americans that have committed suicide for being stuck in prison simply for going and protesting, which is their constitutional right. They didn't shoot anybody. They didn't kill anybody. The Capitol Police opened the door and waved them into Congress. They did nothing wrong. But yet, how many of them have been in prison for how long? Again, how many of their lives have been ruined? Their families have been ruined. Their wives have left them. How many have committed suicide? All for what we are finding out is a massive lie by our own Congress. Not only that, not only massive lies putting American lives in danger, but it is an opposing party. If you do enough bad stuff to an opposing party, maybe they won't win any more elections. If we can take and blame all of this on their patriarch, then maybe, okay, he won't win no more elections. The whole thing here, people, is we are looking at a level of tyranny that is far surpassed anything anybody would have expected in America, except it's here. Again, based on their voting, the globalist party consists of 69% of the Senate and 65% of the House, meaning the globalist will win in just about every case. And this is what we're seeing. The massive amount of money that goes out across the planet every year from America, when America is running up debt that is sure to collapse this country in the near future. But yet, we're still supporting how many countries across the planet? And how dare you say we shouldn't do that? How dare you say America should come first? How dare you say, as my congressman, you should be telling them that money should be spent on Americans, not on foreigners, and it shouldn't be spent by the billions on illegals in this country when Americans, some of them, can't even get unemployment. But yet, if you came across illegally, everything's paid for. We are seeing Americans' eyeballs opening at a rate I have never seen. Is it enough? Stephen, you and I both agree. It's not enough yet, is it?
But nope.
We may be getting there.
Not yet. But I've been saying for 4 years now that, at least three, that COVID has been the greatest thing that we ever could have had to try to awaken up the masses.
And it has helped. It has helped a hell of a lot, but it has harmed a hell of a lot too. But as
and the
you
internet
said,
too, though, and the internet
yeah.
too.
But as you said, and I will reiterate, okay, it's going to take a really big issue to wake up enough Americans. What you just said qualified your exact statement. In the last 3+ years, COVID has done more to help us get the word out about tyranny than just about anything. That was the big smack upside the head you were talking about that we needed in order to get people's attention.
Yep.
So
yep.
That event alone proved what you said is spot on.
Yep.
So appreciated very much, Steve. Okay, so again, as I said, had their representatives voted as their constituents wanted, Biden policies would have been stopped. Well, I could go to any community in America today and find a whole lot of people that don't want anything to do with Joe Biden and don't want him reelected. And I will guarantee you a huge chunk of them will be Democrats. Yeah. So if their representatives had truly represented their constituents in the policies that Biden was putting forward, then Congress would have put a stop to this and we would not be complaining about half of this today. If your congressmen and your senators had listened to you and not the deep state or, I don't know, the global deep state or the elites, whoever's paying them. And anybody who thinks that Roger's being way too hard on these people, you just haven't done any research. Today, America swims in tyranny that I would tell you people again like Mao, people again like Stalin, people again like Lenin would look and go, God, I could have done it that way. Yeah. America is, I don't know, probably the most tyrannical country on the planet today. You can't say China because everybody knows it's right in their face. You can't say Russia. Everybody knows it's right in their face. But in America, you're told home of the, you know, home of the free, land of the brave. You know, this is, everybody's free in America. You have the right to say whatever you want. You have, and the rest of the world laughs at us. Does Roger know that? Roger spent 30 years traveling the globe. Roger still has contacts all across the planet. Today, America is the laughing stock of the world. And how the hell do you think that makes me feel? And if you think I'm joking, but you know some people that don't live in this country, ask them. I dare you. Ask them. What is the thought and the perception of America and their country today? And I'll guarantee you, you won't like it. The fact is that these policies have not been stopped, Joe Biden's. They haven't been. But again, this has disappointed and even angered an increasing number of legitimate voters. Why do I say legitimate voters? Anybody who doesn't know for a fact that the last couple of elections have been stolen in this country, you really need to do some homework. These are provable facts, but not enough people have stepped up to say, we want that proof presented. If that election was, I don't know, unconstitutional, illegal, or unreal, then what do we do? How do we take back the last 3 years? How? So what will happen is what always happens in America. Since we have more important things to think about going forward, like another election, so on and so forth, what sits behind us stays behind us. It won't be brought up. It may be brought up in conversations like this, but it will never be resolved. And this is the way it is in America today. I will refocus your attention on something we do now so that you don't focus on what we did a little while ago in the line of tyranny. Why do these elected officials betray their constituents? This is something that people want to know when I talk about things like this. So Robert has a point. Why do these elected officials betray their constituents? The answer, and here we go, we're going to numbers again. The answer lies in money. Mula, dinero, cha-ching, money. Voters for senators and representatives all come from a particular state. If you are in Massachusetts, then your senators and your representatives are who you vote for in Massachusetts, representing Massachusetts. However, on average, in-state contributions to House members amount to 60% of their totals, and out-of-state contributions amount to 40%. In the Senate, on average, in-state contributions are 34%, and out-of-state contributions are 66%. So in other words, when I tell you that the largest amount of contributions to those running for the Senate or Congress in your state comes from those outside of your state who will influence how your elected officials vote. Why? Because they're giving them more money than you. And they always do. This is not a guess, people. This is an absolute fact. We have a preponderance of funds to what? To elect a representative for you within that state. The preponderance of funds come from those outside of the state who have no real, I don't know, desire to do anything in particular for your state, but they do want to make sure that that rep make sure to sign this bill, make sure to do that, make sure to represent this, make sure to, I don't know, scream bloody murder if somebody says that. This is what we have today. If only 40% in state give money to that person and 60% from out of state give money to that person, and the 40% within that state is all small donations from individuals like you and me, and the money, the 60-65% from out of state coming in, is in the millions or the hundreds of thousands. In other words, you owe me a favor. And they do. How the hell can a preponderance of funds to elect a state representative come from outside of the state, to the point where those inside that state have no real sway due to the funds because they have a minority of the funds? None of this is a joke, people. This is all real. Worse, only 11 out of the 533 members of Congress, listen to me, received the majority of their contributions from small donors. I just told you that. Let me say this again. Worse, only 11 of the 533 members of Congress received the majority of their contributions from small donors, while 522 out of 533 get over 50% of their funding from big donors, most of them out of state. Does that make sense to you people? One in 10 members of Congress receive less than 1%. Listen to me. One in 10 members of Congress receive less than 1% of their contributions from small donors. I think I alluded to that as well. Why do you think I picked this article? This article has the statistics. Worse still, of the 533 congressional members, the mean amount of contributions from big donors is 93% and only 7% from small donors. Yeah. And how do they constantly get reelected? Especially when their, I don't know, their constituents at home aren't happy, but they still manage to get reelected over and over again. According to James Gimple and Frances Lee, large individual donations from out of state are not individual at all, but instead extensions of the modern party's organization into the electorate. In short, the overwhelming number of congressional members only need their constituents to vote them into office. The rest of the time, these members are beholden to corporate lobbyists or other large donors who provide financial incentive to members. No wonder members of Congress do not represent their people. Now, I not only gave you percentages, but I gave you figures. So when you get up tomorrow about noontime, go over to the Liberty Beacon, download this from the libertybeacon.com, and you will have facts you can present to others, and including links where you can get even more facts. So what can be done about this unbalanced situation? The answer is recall. Unfortunately, the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 5 states that each House of Congress may determine the rules of its proceedings, punish its members for disorderly behavior, and with concurrence of two-thirds, expel a member. With concurrence of two-thirds. Scholars would argue that if economic or social change occurred during a member's term in office, that member would know what is best for the country more than his or her constituents. These so-called experts also believe that voters are not well enough informed to hold their representatives accountable. In other words, I have 100,000 people in my district, and 80,000 of them said, we're going to send you to Congress, and this is what you're going to do. But once you get there, you believe that your constituents really haven't got a clue what they're talking about, don't know what's going on, so you're going to make these decisions yourself. Of course, it has nothing to do with the $2, $3, $4, $5 million you get from these big donors, out-of-state donors, or, I don't know, deep state, every time you go up for election. Consequently, the only way to expel a member from Congress is only a two-thirds vote in the members' chamber, and it doesn't really happen. So what are the advantages of recalling congressional members? Okay, have real power over the elected officials on an ongoing basis if they know that you're willing to recall them at any moment. Be energized to stay more informed and keep track of their officials if they were, in fact, telling their congressional members, we're watching. If you don't play right, we will recall you. How about track big donor contributions and discourage elected officials from engaging in corrupt and purely political practices for financial gain? If you're watching everything they do, you can also see their donor contributions. Yeah. What I'm telling you is not enough people are watching. What I'm also telling you is the answer is open your damn eyes. And what's the last point? They will be able to neutralize the power of big money because of what they have observed and know, which you can't do now because you haven't observed and you haven't got a clue. Yeah. So how can recall be instituted against congressional members? Recall enables voters to demand continuous accountability and not wait for the next election to rid themselves of incompetence, dishonesty, unresponsible, irresponsible public officials. Just as the Constitution gave Congress the power to expel its own, it also gave, constituents the power to recall the representatives and senators. It is part of the First Amendment, the right to petition government, the right of the people to petition government for change. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this because I really would like you to, but I will give one more piece of this, okay? Unless voters have the ability to recall congressional members, representation of American citizens will continue to erode. Money and corporatists will dictate government policy, often at the expense of voters. Consequently, constituents will become increasingly disillusioned, which in turn will dissuade them from voting and thus denigrate the very foundation of the American concept. It's time to recall members of Congress. Now, we've got about 2-3 minutes left here. I need to tell you something, okay? Again, a show Roger didn't want to do, a show Roger hated that he ever had to do, but a show that absolutely had to be done. Why? Because it is a mechanism that can be used. And if there are enough people in your district who have had enough of this crap, do it! Do it! Because if nobody does, within a year, two at the most, America will be unrecognizable and you won't be able to say unless you've got permission. Where have I got this wrong, Steve?
Nowhere that I can see.
Any input here? Not an easy topic,
no.
Is it?
No, you did it all pretty good today.
Yeah, the biggest part of this, and this will be my last piece here, the biggest part of all of this is if, according to the Act of 1871, the United States is in fact a corporation and not a, you know, it's not a country.
I do
it's
have
not a sovereign nation. Then how much of this has any standing even with recalls?
Yep. I do have a final thought here.
Please.
What happened to males, men, women in America here?
I totally agree.
France is on fire. Italy is on fire.
Yep.
Canada.
Australia is on fire.
Australia is on fire.
New Zealand's on fire.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, not physical fires. I mean.
No, I got it. Yep.
Yeah. That
people are rising up. And yeah. Again, you and I are both seeing, maybe we'd like to see it faster, but we do see an awakening in America.
Yep.
How much time left, Steve?
20 seconds or so.
Then let me tell everybody listening, you are all appreciated. This information is for you. Please listen and please share. You are valuable, more valuable than Steve and I. Please understand that. Please believe that. And we thank you for listening.
Yep. Until next time, folks.